Blog Talk Radio. Good afternoon, audience. Welcome to the One Cell, One Light radio show with your host, Dr. Hildegard Stanninger, commonly known as Dr. Hildy. Today's show is very special because our program director has been wanting us to do a show in reference to EMF and cell phone towers, the smart grid, and all of the aspects of the phone and the invisible wave, as we call it, the electrical wave that many individuals experience as, I'm going to call it allergic to electrical wave, but it's just basically electrical wave. But we have an expert on this, which is Mr. Curtis Bennett. He is Chief Science Officer for Interprovincial Journeyman Electrical Red Seal, and he is from British Columbia. He was introduced to us through a regular guest that has been on the show, Ms. Rosalyn Peterson, and his wealth of information and expertise in this area is overwhelming in a good way. And at the same time, it's sharing the knowledge as a scientist and an engineer of bringing the truth forward so that many people do not have to experience the harms of electricity or the electrical wave that comes off from many of these instruments and equipment that we're going to be talking about. Welcome to the show, Curtis. Very much.
I want to thank you so much for even allowing me to participate in this. And, if I can clarify something for your listening audience, we're not lobbyists of any particular kind. The consulting work that we do is for, all industry, big industry, billion-dollar industry, military, governments use our work. We lecture medical education. We work for people. We work for the law related to things. We are not lobbyists. So for people listening to this, some of this is going to be very technical. It is very applicable to everybody, every professional, and we're just happy to be a part of it to share what information that hasn't been shared before.
Right, and I appreciate that because in our conversations prior to the show, I was made aware of how the smart grid is also affecting buildings and the energy consumption, and at the same time, the wear and tear of the buildings improperly so that there's possibly insurance concerns. But before I ask you a specific question in that realm, Curtis, I would appreciate it because you have such a diverse background in electrical engineering and the other related disciplines with it that it's been so beneficial not only for building construction, engineering concerns, but also for the environment because we all are experiencing the global use of the smart grid. So if you could share for the with the audience some of that experience in the background that got you to here so that we can go into specific questions.
Well, you know, first off, I'd like to say that the consulting that we do is unique in the way that, you know, I have a double science background, one in electrical energy provision, magnetic fields, electromagnetic fields, creating electricity, generating electricity, and from distribution all the way to utilization. So I am a credentialed energy professional, and I have a building engineering background specific to this because buildings use energy. So I wanted to tie them together so we could actually understand that design, understand how they were using energy as well as the other application. Third to that is that I've got a 33-year background in infrared technology, which is allowing us to see temperature beyond our visible spectrum. And even I didn't understand at the time what it would mean to do a double science education to complement an extensive background in infrared applications. So academia of the world is blind to temperature. We talk about energy, we talk about these things, but typically it just cannot be seen. And so what we've done is evolve temperature out of a calculator just to give sight to professionals, no matter who we're working for, whether we consulted after 9/11 on an issue that a military missed. We're simply part of people's team to get things done. Now, when it came down to the smart grid, I understand what their intent is here. We have real problems. You know, we've got an aging electrical grid, electricity. You know, these grids have to be maintained. They want to use less emissions so that we burn less coal and do things responsibly. But here's an important part, too. Although buildings are designed for specific temperatures and their energy is within that design criteria, we were really blind to what was actually going on. Buildings are signed off as compliant. So while I understand that their objective is really important to save our grid, you have to be very careful when you deploy wireless versus wired. You know, there are very particular reasons why we wire technology and wire industry, because we're confining frequencies to an insulated known conductor where when the wires are together, the electromagnetic lines of flux will cancel each other out. In a wireless application, and why I got involved with this and even more alarmed with this is when they said, we're deploying a wireless, and I said, how are you deploying it? And they said, well, we're just doing a blanket coverage of something. And I said, you can't do that, because what you've done effectively is a wireless circuit is uninsulated, and anything within the fields is effectively inside the wire or the circuit. So when it came to this smart meter issue, they wanted to just install them and make it faster. They wanted to, save our grid, cut down emissions. They think they're going to stop these tornadoes from happening, but they missed real critical science. And here's what it is. The science related to a frequency deployment is based on a mannequin head and what's called the specific absorption rate. And it's just a plastic model of a head with a hole in the top of it where they put in a salt water or a simulated fluid to show tissue or to simulate tissue, and here's what's horrible. With a cell phone, every manufacturer of a cell phone has to submit their cell phone for a specific absorption rate test that's been adopted across the world. Now, they actually show the cell phone held against the head on a bracket, and then they turn the phone on, and they, with a temperature probe in the top of this mannequin head, they determine if there's a heat effect, and if there's not, then it's called a non-thermal effect. When it heats up enough, it's called thermal effects. So when we first heard about this, it was because, smart meters or Wi-Fi, same frequency issues. This took us into another arena right away because I was watching a news channel and some professionals I worked with, and they were talking about Wi-Fi in schools. And what they were doing is being dismissive of parents and children saying, listen, I'm feeling things, I'm hurting, and I'm doing this. And just to watch them being dismissed when I called people and I said, what the heck? I didn't even know what the heck they were doing, because we would not do what's been done. Because an example with a Wi-Fi router is that they didn't incorporate the routers in the classroom in that specific absorption rate test. They left out, they only considered the cell phone as an end-use device. And you saw a picture of that mannequin head that I showed you.
Right, imagine, and that's on the site, yes.
Imagine this. They determined that, the smart meter isn't held against the head like a cell phone, so you're good for 24/7 exposure. A Wi-Fi computer is not held against your head or a tablet or any of those things like a smartphone, so you're good for 24/7 exposure. When we contacted the appropriate departments within Canada and said, how many antennas and what was the orientation of the fields specific to that test, and what were those frequencies? What were they doing? The orientation, all the above. They said, we didn't include that. So the idea that they did not incorporate the routers bathing a classroom and effectively putting children in the circuit, they did not incorporate, for smart meters to work, everybody's talking about the wireless smart meter as an end-use device. They have to understand this wireless circuit has a start and a finish. And something we just did under cross-examination with a utility is to get them to admit that they were electromagnetically radiating their 17,000 square kilometers or 6,564 square miles to communicate with those meters, and therefore electromagnetically inducing everything in the coverage area, which not only is that dangerous, but the specific absorption rate left out the grid, left out that frequency infrastructure, and then to make it even worse, take it into your arena. And again, I can't apologize enough, is that we said, where is the bioelectrical information with humans associated with your test? And they said, we didn't. First off, the radiologist said they're not electrical. And then under cross-examination, we got the owners of the exponent report and Dr. William Bailey to admit that the bioelectrical information isn't included in reporting, isn't included in code, and you just can't do that. So, you know, this grid is just incredibly dangerous the way that they've set this up, because there's things need to be wired. And even in this application for this utility, they had to submit costs, wired versus wireless. And so when they said our wireless costs are so much cheaper, well, of course, you just bypass the whole electrical process by saying, listen, we're going to radiate the whole entire area so we don't have to wire it. But when our questions to them were, did you incorporate the cost of the damage to infrastructure, buildings, crops, and all the above in your unit costs, the Utilities Commission didn't even make them answer the questions because they thought they were out of scope. Instead of, another reason you can't do this is buildings are designed for very specific criteria, including vibration. And an electrical mechanism is these frequencies interacting with buildings, inducing currents through concrete, inducing currents into those wall systems, inducing currents into the fire separations, and on top of that, causing a high-speed polarization or oscillation of those frequencies at twice the speed of those frequencies, because frequencies expand and collapse at twice the speed. So an example is 900 megahertz. Those frequencies are expanding and collapsing inside those walls 1.8 billion times per second. The higher the power density, the more violent those vibrations are going to be, and buildings are not designed for it. So to tell utilities, you can't do this because municipalities have made those buildings compliant with building code. It didn't incorporate this radiation. And shame on the world for moving forward with a technology that actually says this. We're missing causation, and causation is that they left out the grid and they used a mannequin head to see if water molecules were heating, and all the biological information that's required for you to do your most important job. And even more dangerous, and again, I've never had to talk about something this complex, because the predominant, here's with the safety code. The purpose of the code, of course, is to protect the public. That's what all of them are about. And the power of this code says this: the predominant health effect to be avoided is the unintentional stimulation of tissue, as is the heat effect. Experimental studies show it can lead to nerve and muscle depolarization, which medical professionals I work with said this is like an EMF trigger that would also have an effect on neurological and immune systems, and you would know more. But here's an important thing as well: when they say unintentional stimulation of tissue, when you go for an X-ray or somebody goes for medical imaging, you're put in an intended position of use. You're protected with clothing, and they tell you to sit still and the image is taken. Every time somebody moves within this frequency bombardment, you're effectively changing the scope of all the information, and the information for you as a doctor would change even with somebody's fluids, the fields interacting with the fluids in their bodies in the different directions, let alone those people moving, running, talking, walking. There's nothing more catastrophically horrible that we could have unleashed. And this area is an example, because to take it further into buildings, you can't electromagnetically induce crops. You can't electromagnetically induce buildings. You can't electromagnetically induce pacemakers. People with pacemakers are told to stay out of an electromagnetic field. Well, the smart grid is going to take those frequencies to your home, and it'll kill you at home.
Right, and I want to ask you a question. You've done beautifully in explaining the overview, but I want the audience to know, too, that as you stated earlier, that the smart grid is basically wireless versus wired, where we have the electrical cables going over, and, you know, it used to be the T-cross poles or any of this, or underground. The thing is, too, with the smart grid, it is used like crystal motes or nanotechnology to enhance the travel of that electromagnetic field or the absorption of that energy in collecting it, as I've learned in other experts that have been on our show, like Dr. Wang, you know, for getting energy from the road, you know, wirelessly.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, what you brought out, Curtis, was a very important point, because I see a number of individuals that they say, when I'm around my, I touch my mouse or I am around computers, I feel it go through my body. And it's just like you said, through this wireless technology, especially if they're using the router, it's where whatever chemical could be in them, even little particles of metal, electrophilic, neutrophilic compounds that can create cancer with different viruses or anything, it will, to me, it would potentiate the toxicity of whatever those metals are, because it not only heats up the water, as you explained, but it also would drive it into the cell.
I don't know if you agree or disagree. No, I agree 100%. And here's why this is important. You know, people have to think of, you know, this wireless technology and EMFs like a gun, like a bullet. You know, in order to hurt you, and this has been a big argument, if you step back from the meter 10 feet, you're safe. If you do this, you're safe. Instead of understanding that when you leave out the grid substantiates how this EMF bullet is hitting you at these different angles, and you're mm-hmm. absolutely right that the specific absorption rate is actually an admission of guilt, because they say, we know we're electromagnetically inducing currents into people, but just little ones. But because they didn't understand they're inducing an existing electrical and very complex system that you would know more about, they just thought they were doing it and heating water molecules, but not enough to hurt people. And so here's that nerve and muscle depolarization. When I dealt with doctors and I said, tell me about your nerves. And they said, here's every function in your body. I said, so if you hit those nerves from head to toe, I said, you can affect every function in the body. And they said, and not only that, hormonal and immune systems are tied to that. And so when people say, I'm feeling this more than others, it just means because not all people are the same, the way a conductor would be. And you're absolutely right that people are being hurt by these technologies, and to watch them be dismissed as, for whatever reason in the world, is just horrifying. We need to wire things. And here's, I think we talked about this in schools a little bit. In order, when someone said, Curtis, what would it cost to wire a school for 30 computer stations? Well, you know, who knows? $30,000, $50,000, whatever the case may be. Well, guess what the school did with good intent? Listen, let's just put a router up there and we can radiate the whole classroom for $1,000, except we've put the children and the teachers in an electrical circuit, and they are vulnerable to it, and it is hurting them. The mechanisms that are happening are just horrific, because whether you, you've unleashed a frequency and biological weapon is applied.
Right, and just with that thought of just having that one router in a classroom of, say, 30 students plus the teacher, that being continually bombarded by that EMF field, and say they have the pollution in them or not, but they all have microorganisms that are indigenous to their GI tract from whatever nationality or that they are, meaning the ethnic foods and the bacteria that go into the intestinal colon. But the thing is, the first thing to cause a mutation is EMF, radiation, chemical exposure, and then the next is like what you stated to me, is that after you go through the mutation phase, you go through the extinction phase or the sterilization. And if this is heating up a single cell or you feel it within your body or feel that wave, it is actually like frying the cells at the same time, can fry your sperm, can fry your eggs, that they're not functional.
You're absolutely right. And here, and shame on industry, when I've talked to a few who have tried to substantiate this quite frankly garbage science that they've used, when they've said Curtis, fluorescent lights have frequencies, and I said, don't compare a fluorescent light to a 17,000 kilometer or 6,500 square mile frequency that's going through walls and roofs. So when they said, we don't think it's going into the body very far, and I said, so it goes through buildings from one side to the other, but it comes to a screeching halt at the surface of the skin, that's not a reality. Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely right that here a doctor sent me pictures of mutated chicks after 21 days radiation with whatever frequencies they used. He said, similar to the ones you're talking about, but here's a mutated chick. Now, with these frequencies here, here again is a code based on 6 minutes exposure for a full-grown man. So when they take a big guy like me and say, okay, listen, we can do this, even that 6 minutes to me is unacceptable because the damage is measurable by the second, but because they use that mannequin head with water in the top of it, they mm-hmm. said, listen, Wi-Fi is not a consideration. They're good for 24/7 exposure, even children, even though the code says this. You know, you have to be careful of the orientation of the field, the size of the body, all these electrical properties and all these considerations you're talking about. And you're absolutely right that it's just going to hit people differently. And Dr. Hilde, here again, a doctor in Florida called me and he said, everybody in this area is reporting insomnia. He said, is that possible? And I said, depending on their orientation to these fields, yes. And to tell him to say, he said, what should I tell these guys? And I said, while we're addressing this, I said, tell them to switch their bed around so they're perpendicular to the field. And I said, they won't hit them as directly. And what a right. horrible thing to have to represent, but it's a reality. Mm-hmm. And but here again, we did this to warn people because when they move these technologies forward like this, for us to find out as professionals that they just entrusted utilities to do this. You know, the smart grid is an example. They entrusted utilities to put this in because they want to get the job done. And where utilities do have the authority to work on meters, they do not have the authority to deploy frequencies over these large areas that are going to electromagnetically induce everything, penetrate the ground up to 39 inches, because it will kill everything in that area. And something very important for people to understand is that when I dealt with engineers on this recently, because they're insured for errors or omissions related to this, they're talking about this frequency interaction, and I use that 17,000 square kilometers as an example. I said, what in that coverage area is electrical at the atomic and molecular level? And they said, everything in existence. And I said, everything in existence is electrical. All atoms and molecules have electrons. And when these frequencies hit them, be it conductors, semiconductors, or insulators, you're going to cause problems. And this is why when we report this to, when this was reported to the Canadian government in 2010 on a code that admits it's missing causation, you know, they should have taken it forward and represented it differently, but they did not. Because it is just dangerous as applied. It's going to affect crops, buildings, infrastructure. Even Andrew Mikrowski has done all this work for so long, reporting $170 billion worth of damage from accelerated corrosion with infrastructure. And dealing with engineers on this, the bottom line is yes. If you're going to allow these frequencies to hit these bridges, to hit buildings, to hit nuclear power plants, to hit these classified areas where you can induce a static charge, you're going to cause problems, and it's just going to chip away at the concrete because this is what this high-speed vibration does. And what makes it dangerous when we report this is when buildings no longer are compliant with building code, you got problems. You're not going to get insurance. They're not going to be financed. And again, to say to these engineers, how many billions of times per second can we shake your infrastructure and your structure holding up that building before you say it's non-compliant? And it's just it's a horrific issue, and it's really unfortunate that anybody, any industry or any government or anybody would allow professionals to move forward when a code says this. We're missing. It actually says this, and it was just alarming because we don't have electrical codes that say people are being electrocuted but keep on working. Buildings are falling down, so a building code doesn't have errors in it with this. The safety codes related to this, and it's the same science standards as the FCC, and everybody says this. We're missing causation. We don't know what's causing this. We're missing biological plausibility. We're missing reproducibility. Well, as soon as you incorporate the grid they left out, and it's an electromagnetic interaction, which is peer-reviewed science called electricity, you have causation. As soon as you add the bioelectrical information associated with whatever they're hitting, you have biological plausibility. And then the codes say this, once we find out what's wrong, we'll change the code as deemed necessary. In the meantime, while you've got a code missing critical data and admitting to be missing data, they have moved forward with a very dangerous technology that is a frequency and biological weapon is applied.
Right, and I want to add to this because, as you stated, you know, with the person that gets into the circuit of this whole smart grid, look at the advancements of medicine of using even the quantum dots nano so they get a better picture of your cancer disease. They use the MRI, et cetera. But that residue of that dye is still in your body, which has a metal oxide component, which can be part of the grid if it's the right, especially like piezoelectrical devices or anything, if it gets into that grid, because many people that have had cancer that may have had this test, meaning with these particulate matter in it, that when you get into that grid, it can accelerate a process of even congesting of the organs and then cutting off the oxygen supply or accelerating cancer because these nanomaterials take on a different physical characteristic. Example, like if it was an aluminum oxide but done at a nano level, the metal is corrosive versus not, you know, inert, like used in an aluminum chair. So I think when you have this, I'm going to call it the wild card, the catalyst of the EMF, it's going to enhance not only, as you stated, the buildings or anything, just look at what building materials are, basically stainless steel, aluminum frame, tin, iron nails, or other cement and what it's mixed with. They also use different metal filings, you know, little pieces of metal to make it strengthen the cement. So with the metal there and an electrical grid, it's going to really amplify the vibration, you know, the charge in it.
You know, you're so right with this, and it's amazing that I just had a conversation with Dr. Peter Goldberg this morning, who is a brilliant medical education administrator, mm-hmm. and he was talking about some of the things you're talking about now, and he was talking about, you know, here is this piezoelectric thing that's going on with the metals, and I said, and I explained to him that, you know, you've got a couple of, he also talked about connective tissue,
mm-hmm.
and he talked
mm-hmm.
about, you know, these being semiconductors, and I said, you've got a couple of different mechanisms going on here. I said, one, you're going to electromagnetically here when frequencies interact with different here frequencies interact differently with different things. So when someone said, Curtis, I have titanium, and I said, it's not going to interact with your titanium. I said, it's going to bounce off and go someplace else and cause other problems. When you get into more absorbent properties in different types of metals, then it's going to interact with those. But I said, you're going to have a couple of different actions going on here. One, you've got electromagnetic induction, which you're inducing currents into that existing electrical system and changing voltages, changing frequencies, and doing things the body won't recognize. And I said, and that membrane you're talking about, or the holding the connective tissue, I said, now you've got a high-speed bombardment, say if it's 1.8 billion times per second where these magnetic fields are expanding and collapsing to 10 or 11 billion times per second. And I said, these tissues at a molecular and atomic level are actually trying to change direction 180 degrees billions of times per second, and there is nothing that is going to stay together. It doesn't matter what it is. So when people said it's not causing DNA breaks, and I said, I would challenge anybody to take something and shake it that violently, and we're going to come apart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we're going
to
come apart.
Years ago, I did the first shaking baby syndrome case, and it does have an effect. The other thing is that with a lot of telemetric medicine, which is using on e-health, where physicians now can give you a pill or give you a dye, you know, that has the metals, or a glucose sensor, which is Sensil, in your drink, your milkshake, and lab on a chip, you know, can analyze due to the change in temperature, as you brought out, that it can measure your physiology, do different ratings with it, integrate that device, I'm going to call it the chip or what device, into a software system that is part of the grid, because a lot of the monitoring is also so that they can see if you are taking your medicine, if you are physiologically getting better, etc. So if you were a person that had that, I'm going to say, in not in that study, but part of that program in medicine, going into this electrical grid, which is the smart grid, could be, one, they would get a lot of information from you, but at the same time, highly reducing your health, I would think.
100%. You know, for the bottom line with this is, you know, when I talked to biologists and said, listen, you're electromagnetically inducing this, they said, you can't change cellular voltages. You change it by millivolts. And they went off on a spiel that I don't even understand with what this is going to do. You know, and even, you know, you and I briefly touched on this, but the things you're talking about when they put these dyes in or they're putting anything in like this, you're going to have an enhanced interaction with this frequency bombardment, the induction, the high-speed polarization, and they're going to change things that they're not telling doctors about. And even when you talked about, you know, again, here are these microorganisms or bacteria and things with inside the body, it's going to change everything and how it's acting. And even as one doctor said with Lyme patients, would the bugs excrete more toxins? Would there be more things happening as a result of this frequency bombardment? Well, if it's going to be like an EMF trigger causing nerve and muscle depolarization, you're 100% right. What is it doing inside there and causing these unrealized things? And that's the importance of not deploying something until all the science has been done and all the appropriate professionals, you know, have been advised. And because here's something that, and again, as a first responder, and when I talk about we, I'm talking about, you know, an international team. This isn't my opinion. But you know, you're going to cause problems you just can't deal with across the board, and it's not insurable. Extinction is a reality. And we say this to duck because here, I don't know if doctors are insured. But here's
you know,
an example.
I want to add to that. You asked if doctors were insured. I have found that some physicians maintain malpractice, some do not, and show a release to their patients. I come from a professional area of environmental engineering and industrial hygiene and toxicology, so you have your professional insurance, and then I interface with physicians, so I have, like, malpractice. But the thing is, you on your end, you would have you know, like from electrical engineering, professional errors and judgment, you know, type insurance in that category.
100%, and this is why even for our own work.
But people don't. And then
here's that important part.
And they're the ones that first complain.
Well, you're right, and here's an important part. It changes the scope of our work because, oh, you're electromagnetically inducing all this stuff that we're working on and our science credentials are based upon, but you didn't tell us. The idea that even in medicine, and what a thing for me to represent in my capacity, again, not a singular opinion, but, oh, you left out the grid, which substantiates people being hit from head to toe, so you've... And you admit that if they get hit, it's causing nerve and muscle depolarization, which changes the scope of medical diagnosis across the board. And even with doctors now, and some of them are shocked, I said, you cannot leave out people's electromagnetic or their frequency environment in diagnosis because it's changed. They left out this critical data, and you weren't told about it.
Right, and it used to be measured a long time ago with the salt ratio because sodium chloride would carry the charge within your body, and it's so important with the polarities of the nerves, meaning their positive, negative charge, and when you get a metal like lead that goes to the nerves, it has an affinity to the nerves. When you're severely polluted by lead, what do you get? You can't lift up your foot or you have wrist drop or foot drop because it depolarized the nerve. You have no control. You can't send that electrical impulse down the nerve because the lead's there. You get the lead out, you may be able to move your foot, okay? But the other thing is with these polarity, since the smart grid, now I guarantee the world sprays a lot of stuff, biological pesticides, chemtrails, you know, all of that. But taking that away, just looking at what all of us have been exposed to as a child is usually chickenpox, mumps, etc. But since the advent of certain areas getting more smart grid or more use of that, I have noticed an increase of viral infections, in particular like shingles or any of that, because viruses are positive negative charge. They love to go to the nerves. They love to go to the intestinal colon because it's a wide base of, nerves. The same like with tuberculosis. It loves the lungs. And others love the spinal cord because it has an affinity there. But if you move your body, say you didn't do anything, just had a childhood illness of chickenpox, and move your body into this grid, you may be experiencing more warts on your body, blisters on your body that are associated with that disease and maybe even cultured and have those titers, I would think.
100%. And something I want you to think about, too, because, you know, even when I'm working with doctors now, you can appreciate this with me, with my technical background in lecturing medical education. I'm not a medical professional, but our consultations, those areas are specific to what we do. But here you are talking about positive and negative charges, and if you're talking about neurons, you're talking about nerves, you're talking this. You think about this the same way you look at a battery. You'll see this charge where, oh, look at the battery where it's got a plus on the top and a minus on the bottom. And if you don't put those batteries inside that camera or inside something so that you've got the correct polarity, it doesn't work. So, and here's that basic thing you're talking about is as soon as those frequencies hit anything that they can interact with, you're talking a high-speed polarization because these frequencies are going, it's just that you think of this landslide where it goes, whoa, the frequency is going all the way positive and then it's collapsing and going negative and then it's going positive and negative, but it's doing it billions of times per second. And never mind that, then you're talking about inducing currents and you're absolutely right that this is electrically interfering with the body like people never knew before. And because people are not all the same, like any standard conductor would be, you're going to get a variety and a wide scope of adverse health effects from head to toe. And you, I've read documentation where the American Academy of Environmental Medicine has said, listen, we've got concerns about this because here are all these symptoms across the board. Ole Johansson and even people like yourself, and I've heard this, you know, they've been beating people up on this where industry has been overwhelming them on this issue when, guess what, you were right all along, and it's causing more problems even specific to what you're talking about. And I just want to clarify something, too, because in apologizing to you and apologizing to your audience, when I attended and cross-examined the utilities witnesses in search for information to find out where it says this, and I'm sure you've heard this, there's not one peer-reviewed study showing harm. Well, it's because when you're using a mannequin head filled with water and you're not talking about the same science, that's why you don't have one peer-reviewed study showing harm. All of your studies were correct. They just left out this credible information and even more because, you know, I think about what you're talking about with this neurological interference, and it's really alarming because when you go to a doctor's office, and great credit to them, medical professionals I worked with, they said, you're frustrated with us. And I said, you're blind to inflammation. I said, but what the heck did we do giving you guys 15 minutes to troubleshoot this whole human organism and determine everything that's wrong with them while they're being neurologically stimulated by man-made frequencies? Mm-hmm. Horrible that what are you going to do with this is you're going to treat a lot of symptoms. You're going to treat a lot of different things, and again, you get into that thing of a misdiagnosis and not with intent. We were supposed to protect you from this. And as my medical professional said, this isn't our area of expertise. You guys were supposed to protect us, and I said, you're 100% right. This shouldn't be coming to you like this. We should never have unleashed what is a frequency and biological weapon is applied. And as much as that's inconvenient to hear that kind of language, listen, it's an electrical reality. Even the utilities, and here's a sad thing, but this is what happens when professionals want to sell themselves out. You know, their engineer said, listen, we take great exception to what you're saying in your hypothesis. And to look at an engineer that's selling electricity that's created with electromagnetic induction, telling me that electromagnetic induction is hypothetical, well, he's an idiot. And not only that, he should lose his credentials for talking like that. But here, that's the reality of what we've done. And here again, here's all God's creatures, whatever your belief is on creation, using the Earth's magnetic field for navigation, bees and birds and everything else. We all know this. And now we employed a high-speed frequency that's going to interfere with all life, all biology, everything you're saying with humans. Those appropriate professionals need to take this into agriculture, trees, microorganisms, bugs, whatever the heck it is, because it's just this horrible thing has been used and deployed in a reckless manner.
Definitely. Years ago, I did a paper in reference to the earthworm and was part of the EPA on earthworm and how it would gobble up lead and not have the lead in its body from the castings and that, because an earthworm lives for 6 years, but they only eat bacteria. But when the electromagnetic field, as you stated earlier in the show, can go down 39 inches, that means the earthworms that give the nitrogen back to the soil and all this for the plant life, there's going to be a major destruction of the ecosystem. And at the same time, if it goes 39 inches, it's going to go possibly faster in water than in soil. It's going to affect fish life and other types of environmental concerns.
You're 100%. And here, imagine this. When we work for industry, and we've done this, you know, forever, where here we are, these technical professionals, we work with these amazing professionals in these very dangerous environments, and we isolate problems for them and their insurers at the same time to get the job done, to save lives and keep people safe, to keep the economy moving, and all the above. For anybody to sit back and think that, you know, listen, we're going to lose crops, we're going to lose our pollinators, we're going to lose food sources. Bees are responsible for 35% of the world's food sources. When you talk about that interaction with everything in the soil and exactly what you're talking about there, this is why I've said to in telling people to duck on this and professionals to duck, is that it's not insurable. And that's why I say this when I was, even though the utility, when I was cross-examining them, they were hissing and spitting at me without understanding this. We work for energy companies. We would do this for the telecommunications industry. We would do this for the President of the United States. We would do this for anybody. We work saying, listen, here's the reality of that science, and what we've done is just horrific. And again, when they talk about industry gets into this thing where, oh, the meters and things are transmitting sporadically and it's not like a cell phone, whatever the case may be, the damage is measurable by the second, and it's an unprecedented health and environmental emergency across the globe.
Right. And I, years ago when I first started in aerospace, my primary job was to evaluate pregnant women in the workplace. Because, one, we were making printed circuit boards, we were making missiles, we were doing a lot of chemicals. This was in the years when they were creating the material safety data sheets, first here in the U.S., and then they flipped it, Canada. And in Canada, in different provinces, in particular Quebec, had to be in French, you know, whatever the language was, just as in Puerto Rico it had to be in Spanish. But the thing is that I was always concerned about the chemicals because the baby would absorb 7 times more toxins than the mother upon conception, and the mother would eat 7 times more food or water, you know, because of the baby. There's that synergistic, but it is filtering off the toxins that are in the mother would go to the baby. But if the baby survived of the toxins and everything, they both would be able to live through that amount of toxicity. You know, say it was 100 parts per million and they were exposed to that. But with the advent of the router and other types of the EMF, there definitely needs to be like electronic smog evaluation for job hazard evaluation or anything, I would see. Under our laws, meaning under
100%, and here's something as well that, you know, when an MRI is an example.
Mm-hmm.
An MRI chamber is designed so that that very delicate signal can't get can't be electromagnetically interrupted. It's an MRI chamber is designed so radio frequencies can't interfere with that very delicate chamber. That very delicate signal in that chamber, all of the above. And here's what they do is when they talk about, when I even went to the utility and I said, you know, what have you done to ensure the attenuation or the elimination of these frequencies from inside the building? And I want to bring this back to medicine because when I looked up attenuation coefficients, it talked about exactly what you're saying here is that I looked at it and I said, oh, my goodness. I said, this is going to hit the water in the body and do things differently. It's going to hit the bones and do this differently. It's going to do this, all the above. And here's when you talk about a fetus, you know, and I hate to be graphic with this, but it is what it is. When I've talked to doctors, I said, if they had vocal cords, now that you've also incorporated this electromagnetic interference, I said, do you think we'd hear them screaming? And here's why. And I would say this to you, and again to medicine, the telecommunications industry, the energy companies. You've got a fetus. You've got I'm so ignorant biologically. When they said, Curtis, you know, a baby girl is born with all her eggs.
Yes.
And I said I did not know that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We've subjected their eggs to this. But you think about
and they're as old as what that child is or that adult is.
You think about from conception, here are these frequencies being blasted through these mums, and here are these calls we get over here, for real. Curtis, my colleague and I worked in a Wi-Fi environment in a school, and her baby died 2 months after from a birth defect. Could it be related to the Wi-Fi? And guess what? Yes. Here, when I contacted an MP regarding these, his whole group used to work for a wireless company, and he said everybody in the testing floor got cancer, and the babies had spina bifida. You're absolutely right. You think about these toxins that, and here's their reality. It's actually been measured that they measured umbilical cord blood. It was at the Environmental Working Group did a test on umbilical cord blood where they took 10 randomly picked umbilical cords. The Red Cross collected the blood, and what they did is they tested them for toxins. And do you know how many of them were poisoned?
All of them.
All of them. All of them had mercury. All of them had mercury banned, pesticides, Scotch guards, and all of these things. And now exactly what you said, now you've got this polluted fetus from conception. Does it have the ability to protect itself? Now you throw this frequency bombardment through them and do those things. And I can't even explain the horrors that would be happening, and Stephen King couldn't write this one.
Right, and the thing is, bringing out this study that you observed or read about the umbilical cord blood, I've said that years and years that's what's happening for developmental toxicology. But the thing is that this same type of cord blood is what you can freeze and put into storage as your stem cell blood. But they're not, just like with the American Red Cross, they're not looking for the chemicals that are in it. They do blood drives, et cetera. They now look for AIDS, but they don't look for the other chemicals, which you can have reactions to.
Well, with what you said, and you know something else, too, when I read that study and it was sent to me and I looked at it and I forwarded it to doctors and they said, Curtis, this mother didn't work in an industrial plant. She didn't work in these places.
Mm-hmm.
These toxins came from her air, her food, her environment, and passing that on to a fetus because they actually said they thought the umbilical cord was a shield between the mom and the fetus, but it was not. And here, more importantly, when they said, do you know where this test on umbilical cords was done? I thought, well, it's got to be a third world country where they don't have environmental laws. It was done in the United States.
Oh, my.
It was done in the United States. It was done by I think there was a U.S. Senator that she also got tested as well. And when they tested those babies or the umbilical cord blood, and only for the toxins they tested for, there were hundreds of chemicals inside these little undeveloped, unprotected little guys. And the idea that what this would do is beyond the scope of my understanding, but when I say to doctors, what would these toxins do? He said, well, this is a neurotoxin. I said, are there nerves developing? What the heck is going on with the complexity of this issue? And then to throw a frequency bombardment at that, we're just seriously talking about extinction of all life.
Mm-hmm.
Of all life.
And I would think not only from driving the chemicals into the tissues, and as we've seen with the umbilical cord blood, the birth defects that you expressed with the lady that was in the school had the birth defect baby and it died. But the thing is, also with the bombardment, you can't absorb your nutrition. Your cells won't get proper nutrition, like vitamin C is on the outside of the cell membrane. It's in a water-soluble, meaning fresh water. The inside of the cell is salt water because it's like the amniotic sac, which is salt water inside to reduce exposure to infectious material. The thing is, too, that with this bombardment and changing the natural microflora within your body, which your first exposure is when you're being born and you get exposed through it through the vaginal canal. The thing is, though, the bacteria is to make your glutathione, which is in your body to neutralize the toxins. But the thing is, if it is messed up at the beginning, like with the EMF, and it won't work properly or is totally dysfunctional, beyond the mutation of switching off an enzyme or anything, again, that can lead to extinction because you won't be able to make the enzymes that are naturally needed to protect yourself.
Well, even with what you're saying with this, and imagine this for this, and I watch, even in Canada, they talk about, okay, here's health costs, and they're astronomical, and here's President Obama. And again, you can appreciate this. Our work is not political. You know, we don't go to a fire or handle things depending on people's political affiliation or anything. We do our jobs because it is what it is. But while they're talking about these costs related to this, now you're going to deploy, here's an example with this Fortis BC application. I'm going to guess that there's 400,000 people just in their coverage area. Well, they're going to electromagnetically induce 400,000 people. And so, therefore, there are going to be adverse health effects and costs associated with that. The insurance companies are not going to like picking up the cost, but this will bankrupt the U.S. government. This will bankrupt all of the above, because how are you going to keep up with the costs associated with this? And on top of this, oh, we just didn't tell doctors, we want you guys to fix this. We want you to be liable for it. We want to insure you for it. But we didn't tell you that, by the way, we've deployed these highly penetrating, fast-moving frequencies across a planet in an atmosphere that's designed for magnetic fields. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you just get into a whole complexity of issues. And, again, this is why we told them to duck.
You know, a prime example, and I'm sorry I interrupted you, Curtis, but a prime example to show the reality and the value that is needed in the professions of physicians and other related disciplines is this. When they had the first cases approximately 20 years ago of the breast implants that ruptured and all of that situations in the Dow Corning, legal cases, Congress made a ruling that in any future work with implants, the manufacturers would be exempt. So you couldn't sue them, okay, if there was something wrong with the implants or anything. But if you had a physician that was in the research doing continued research, you know, using the implants for reconstruction after breast, augmentation after breast surgery or anything, say from cancer or anything like that, then they would be responsible under their insurance. So I think that whole arena is going to happen with this EMF situation, because the insurer, you know, meaning the insurer companies, are eventually going to say, hey, enough is enough. We can't cover this because it's too much out there. It's like what they did with mold, what they did with silica, what they did with asbestos. You know, on newer policy.
You're right. No, you're so right, and here's another reason for this. You know, our work over time just got so incredible that, you know, we would end up consulting for big industry and insurers at the same time, because mm-hmm. the bottom line is insurers want to save money. Industry wants to save money so they get better premiums. There was a loss of life, production losses, all the above. And insurers are not going to sit back and take this once they find out that, oh, you're electromagnetically inducing everybody in the area. And imagine this, too, when their lawyers, and this is another reason for this, lawyers have taken this to court, and here's an example. May of 2011, the World Health Organization kicks out a document that says, cell phones possibly carcinogenic. Well, then you saw the telecommunication industry and everybody take this around, and they put quotation marks around possibly, because, you know, taking possibly to court, you know, it doesn't leave a judge with anything. With causation found and reported and biological plausibility found, the margin of error is zero. It's going to bring everybody into the fold on this issue, and insurers are not going to take it. I can guarantee that. And their lawyers, they're not going to shut down insurance companies of the world. They're not going to shut down medical universities. They're not going to shut down all of this, which they would have to, because you're changing sciences across the board.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wouldn't. Now, if, say, a big industry, we're just going to use an example, the cell phone industry, or even the other aspect is the professional securities or anything that develop the smart grid, but maintain it, you know, by sprinkling more of the smart dust or the crystal motes, rather. The thing is that if the insurance companies didn't insure them, then they would probably start a fund or something which would be self-insured. I'm going to call it like a pot, a perpetual pot to draw from if there was ever any wins on these settlements or anything that would come in the future.
They don't have enough money.
Yeah, we're going to pick that up.
You just don't.
I hear the music, Curtis. We're going to pick that up on the second half, okay?
Thank you very much.
Just hang on, and we'll take a little break.
Okay.
Welcome back to the second hour of One Cell, One Light Radio with Dr. Hildegard Steininger, commonly known as Dr. Hildy, and my special guest, Mr. Curtis Bennett. And we were continuing our discussion of how the industry from the smart grid being, if there was any, beyond insurance claims, but any legal suits for claims that they were uninsured or non-self-insured, that they would bankrupt them, as you stated, Curtis.
Oh, absolutely. You know, insurance companies are not going to, you know, when I work for insurance companies over all this time, you know, and if some of them are listening, you know, the bottom line with them is they want to save money. And when you can't save money and you're going to have to pay out these costs, because here's a reality, and this is important for your guests to know, is that when some people are skeptical about this, the idea that they deployed this technology and they were entrusted to do this, so they didn't go to universities and say to engineers, listen, what's it going to mean if we electromagnetically induce your buildings, where they would have said, you can't do that. They didn't go to biologists and say, listen, here's what we're doing to crops. Here's what we're doing to this. Is that okay to do that? The answer would be no. They didn't go to any sciences of any particular kind and even tell them what they were doing. And you can't do that because the liability isn't just going to be monetary. It's also going to be criminal. Because I asked a lawyer this. I said, if I know these frequencies are hurting people and I move forward, aren't I guilty of recklessly endangering those people? And he said, yes. And I said, would I be exempt from any liability? And the answer is no. And here's what I said to the lawyer as well. And very seriously, I said to him, what is a lawsuit worth for a young girl that we have caused genetic mutation of her ovaries? And I said, and while we're at it, let's throw in that the family no longer has a genetic downline because they can't reproduce. I said, what's that lawsuit worth per child? And he just said, oh my goodness. You know, and realistically, I mean, what's genetic mutation worth? Millions of dollars per mm-hmm. person.
Right.
And when you think that they did this and this blanket stuff, this is why we tell them to duck, and this is why administration and politicians, science, policy is based on science, not the other way around. And the absolute arrogance that's gone on with this to create this where, here's an example with this, that, you know, and we discussed this a little bit, where when they try to dispute us on causation, I had, you know, here's a PhD that said, Curtis, you know, I don't believe that these frequencies are hurting people. I said, believe isn't a word that we use in generating electricity. Science is science. And I said, and you are not electrically qualified in your opinion to talk about frequency interactions. Although you'll know them about them in your education, I said, you're not electrically qualified. Same thing when a chief physicist said, Curtis, we did these tests in these classrooms to see if it was hurting children. And for this guy to use a stove element analogy, quite frankly, angered me when he said, is the computer burning the child? If you step back a foot, is it burning them? Think of a stove element analogy. And I said, who did you use electrically in your study? And he said, we didn't use anybody. And I said, you're not electrically qualified in your opinion. And he even said, well, we know we're changing frequencies when you mix frequencies, but just a little bit. Well, listen, if you change the frequency of our electrical grid just a little bit, it would crash. You can't just talk about frequencies and have these administrators just talk about it as if it's just not a big deal. It's a very big deal. And it's not insurable. It's not sustainable. It's not legally definable as sustainable, especially now that, oh, you guys, you're not just radiating that a mannequin head. You left out the frequencies in the grid covering these large square areas. And here's an example of this, too. With the Texas Public Utilities Commission, I was part of their expert panel where they invited me to talk about this. And, well, they said, here is their literature talking about smart meter safety. And, hey, if you step back from that meter and you've got a little distance between you, you'd have to talk on a cell phone. It's not the equivalent of this much time on a cell phone, whatever, and you're safe. So we asked their lawyers, what is the average square coverage of one smart meter router on your grid? He said, 5 square miles. I said, what is the average coverage of one collector? 125 square miles. Well, that means everything in the area is getting electromagnetically induced. And so even to make a reference to the governor and any elitists thinking that, you know, we're going to be safe in this, if you're in the coverage area, you're being hit even if you're opting out. There was no opt-in. There should not be an opt-out. And we're talking about issues separate from, you know, unqualified people sneaking on people's property and swapping meters that they're not qualified to touch in a very fragile situation while they blame homeowners for electrical problems inside and fires.
Mm-hmm. And
insurers are not going to take it.
Yeah, and I don't blame them. I had one time an individual come to my office, and we were discussing that how some of the grid comes on at certain times. It might be connected to the main master computer within the city or whatever the system is, so that it will kick on 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock, whatever, you know, either collect or recover or send. But what that person noticed that when she looked at the time, so we were documenting what happened. Do you know how gasoline, if you see the gas vapors on a long road, it just goes off the road, the gas
mm-hmm.
vapors?
Mm-hmm.
That wave was coming out of her walls whenever that would kick on, or that time frame. Have you had any experience with that observation?
No, but what you're talking about is that you can't deny that, because here's why. And here's an example. When we consulted for a structural engineer here on a 20-story high-rise, now we take a look at the building, the energy issues related to it. We tie it into code because nobody wants a personal opinion. They want to tie this into a legal issue. And then he said, okay, now this is a 20-story high-rise with all expensive condominiums on it. In the very basement is their meters. And he said,
mm-hmm.
they're talking about putting smart meters in here. And I said, you can't do that. I said, because you'll knock the legs out of your structure. I said, you will cause collapse of the building, high-speed vibrations. You will also shake up fire separations, drywall. So if you think about that, absolutely, that you'd have this electrical mechanism, this kick on, and all of a sudden you are violently shaking something, and you'd be able to see, be it a residue or a dust or something like this. Absolutely, it would be possible, depending on what it is.
Yeah. Curtis, I don't know what happened, but you sound far away.
Well, this is what I remember
okay,
what I said about
you sound
this
real
phone,
close
if this,
now.
If this phone fades out for a second,
right,
because
right.
I was forced in this situation to use a cordless phone where normally I would not.
Yeah, and you told
the
me about that.
But the importance of this requires that. Because here's another thing as well when we talked about this. I think that I can't remember her name calling out of California saying trees are dying. And Rosalind.
Yeah.
So imagine this when she said, I want to talk about the frequencies interacting with trees and what's going to happen with this. And I said, try to imagine this. These frequencies will knock the foliage off of trees. And that will subject the ground to solar radiation, where we imaged buildings in development in 7 provinces and 26 states where that solar EMFs interacting with exposed buildings and ground was generating heat close to boiling temperature.
Wow.
And here's our climate change group over right now, the United Nations meeting in Poland, talking about we're worried about a few degrees rise atmospheric temperature. We're documenting this extreme temperature. As a matter of fact, the hottest building that I've personally been associated with imaging was 204 degrees Fahrenheit on a 95-degree day.
Wow.
Here's just solar EMFs. We all know this, that we go out in the sun and here's this high-speed frequencies from the sun that hit our bodies. They do not go through it like a radio frequency, but here they cause excitation on the exterior and they burn your skin. Well, they're burning buildings, and here's what's important. When you talked about, interaction with frequencies, have you ever seen whitewashed buildings in Europe?
Yes.
There's very particular reasons they do that, because they don't use air conditioning. And air conditioning, and this isn't going to sit well, but it contradicted my own education. One of the reasons why energy companies are having these challenges, and this isn't their fault, because when we build a development, all of a sudden we just move all this energy requirement on the grid for these guys to handle. Air conditioning is refrigeration. And it has no reason being in a building, quite frankly. And the problem is, when we design a building for regional climatic data from code, we use very specific design temperature. And so when I imaged that building that was 204 degrees Fahrenheit, that building was only insulated and designed for a maximum of 92. So when the outside causes that, the outside gets excited, the heat transferred inside, where people go, oh, my goodness, is it ever cooking in here? And what they should be saying is, let's open the refrigerator door. And then you've got this heat radiating atmospherically where they miss this, and this is what helped nuke the Philippines, Hurricane Sandy, and all the above. And again, shame on Canada for not passing that information forward, because our job was to report that to our authorities having jurisdiction. And unfortunately, we ran into some of those professional weenies that just said, you know, you're making us feel defensive. Well, science is science. You know, you're not supposed to be getting defensive. They have an administrative job to do. And again, this couldn't be seen before, but we did this in the infrared spectrum. And when people talk about thermography, I really want people to understand this is that, you know, we've been challenged by industry. And even when we image groundwater from the air, the hydrologist and the forest industry, we were within a tenth of a degree imaging water from a moving helicopter.
I know,
and
that's
so it was.
Amazing.
So it was very accurate, and it is what it is. But here's that thing with the grid. These guys actually think these administratively or these technically challenged administrators are trying to knock this off the grid, and for all the right reasons in the world. Instead of this, here's an example with a building here that they said, Curtis, I said, what is your air conditioner using? And they said, here it is right here. And I said, your air conditioning is using the equivalent of 6,100 watt light bulbs per hour to refrigerate your building, and that's one building. And guess what? You've got somebody shoveling coal to produce that electricity. You know, you've got this grid trying to keep up with this load where if they shaded their building with a tree, when we imaged buildings, that same building that I talked about being 204 degrees,
right. Uh-huh.
There was the shade of a tree on one corner of the building, and it absolutely humbled me to say, take a look at that. Underneath the shade of the tree, this thermal regulator that this planet provides, it's exactly atmospheric temperature. If they whitewash those buildings or use cool roof technology or different technology, those solar EMFs would not interact with the buildings. They would bounce off. And therefore, we wouldn't have this heat load and this horrible stuff that's going on. But, you know, again, municipalities are blind to temperature.
Yeah. I want to ask you a question, Curtis. I don't know if you're familiar with antimicrobial agents. Being some of them are made with a ammonium, which is the NH4, you know, a charged ammonia compound that usually is in a gel like hydrogel or silicone-based or any of that, meaning they run on the mechanism, if you ever saw any of their commercials, that it electrifies the microorganism so that it dies, so it kills it, like on the wall, if there's any fungus or bacteria or anything, for sterilization, basically. Sometimes those coatings or those materials, meaning that compound base, is used in coating, what do you call it, like screws that go into the human body or, you know, any of those, like broken bones or any of this. But where I'm going is, if that material was in you or coated on the wall, to guard against, I'm going to just use fungus, mold, and then you had the Wi-Fi and it's still there because it's supposed to last like 20 years or anything, it could in theory be recharged to electrify where you could get possibly outgas or materials from it possibly.
100%. You're electromagnetically inducing electricity into that with this frequency bombardment. You know, when we generate electricity, it requires an electromagnetic field and a conductor. And that's keeping it very simple with this, but you're mm-hmm. absolutely right. And something you'd get a kick out of, too, is that when you look at someone, I think that might be in part of the information that's on your website there. And again, this is where it contradicted my own education because in my double education, both in electrical energy provision and building engineering, we use calculators for temperature considerations with the greatest of accuracy. We couldn't see it. So when I actually imaged 204 on the outside of the building, I said, I want to see inside. And they said, what do you expect to see? And I said, I hope I see nothing, but I don't think it's going to happen. And when we went in the inside of the building and did an infrared time-lapse video to see this heat generated on the outside and literally come back through the framing members of the building where it was superheating the building. And then when we turned on the air conditioning, refrigeration, we created a weather system inside the building, but this cold air being heavier just laid on the floor. The top of the inside was still being heated, here's this cold air laying on the floor, and here's this condensation you're talking about as a result of that. You've created an indoor weather system.
Right.
And a result of that is you're going to have moisture on all the things you're talking about and that mold issue. And even at one convention I was at, a gentleman said, could you please image me? I think I've got a lung problem. And he said they don't know what's causing it. And when I imaged him, I didn't have any idea what to expect or otherwise, but I picked up this inflammation on one lung, and I said, what color is your building? And he said, gray. And I said, do you use air conditioning? He said, 24/7. And I said, your own indoor environment created that because of the exterior being the colors it is. I said, I want you to paint and shade your building. One, you'll knock the air conditioning load off the grid immediately. And if utilities understood this, you know, and did this, painting a building, a building has a function. The exterior of the building has a function. They're not just supposed to be pretty. And these dark absorbent colors that we're using and these very absorbent materials, like you said when you talked about metals, if we're not reflecting those frequencies where they're harmless, they're interacting.
And here's
shocking to me when we did time-lapse infrared videos. And again, this is so people can understand, this is EMFs. Just because it's a solar EMF, it's still an EMF. But here again, contradicting my own education, we did time-lapse videos just as the sun came up, because I wanted the buildings cooled off, zero solar interaction at all. And when we watch buildings heat up by the minute, so here's an example, by 8 o'clock in the morning, it's 54 degrees Fahrenheit outside. Darker buildings were 154. And solar interaction was so aggressive. We all hear about it, but even when I imaged a very pale person to see solar interaction in the winter, to watch their face heat up and to document that, to watch them heat up that much in 5 minutes. And here's what even takes us further, why we have to be careful with EMFs regardless of what they are. In the wintertime here was minus 10 degrees Celsius. The exterior of the darker buildings was 70 in the winter. So now you've got this atmospheric heater without emissions. And one of my joys was when a group asked me if I would co-present with Al Gore, I said, listen, it's an honor that you would talk like that. I said, but we're going to disagree on the science. Al Gore is blaming this on emissions, and I said, you can't talk about heat trap and greenhouse gases and leave these urban heat generators close to boiling temperature and ignore them.
Right.
Heat rises and it travels the world. And we share one atmosphere. And here again, shame on Canada. And I hope they're going to listen to this too, because they're at the United Nations meeting in Poland right now while the Philippine guy is fasting and crying over the devastation in their country. And Canada is politically representing, we're almost reaching a quarter of our greenhouse gas reductions. But by the way, you know, we're not telling you guys that our professionals reported these buildings grossly exceeding building code because of solar exposure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And shame on them, because here's the United Nations again. These guys have committed, I've heard as much as $600 billion to deal with this, because sea level is going to rise. All of these horrible things. They're talking about Florida disappearing.
Yeah, I know. They've been talking about that a long time.
Unbeknownst to those guys, we're generating heat close to atmospheric temperature. And if you go to your own national weather satellite and watch the loop of this winds move across the country and Canada and the world and everything else, it's shocking, because here is this generated heat rising and moving atmospherically, where it's going to meet. Weather is the basic interaction of cold and warm air with water vapor, and that's why they don't want us generating heat. You've heard of Canada and this Keystone Pipeline and these other things that they want to do. Well, they're going to create these urban these heat sinks without understanding what they're doing, and we're using a massive energy response responding to symptoms. We're not addressing cause.
Right, right, and the need. And you touched on a little bit, you know, with the mold increased growth. This would also possibly happen with increased growth of yeast within your body, you know, when it's not functioning properly. Because there were some recent studies that were brought out, Dr. Klinghardt and other scientists brought out from Germany, that the growth of the mold from the presence of EMF increased 600%. Or 600 times, rather. Do you have any
comments? Well, you're right. And here again are these professionals, and it really, quite frankly, this is the part that makes me angry when I see these professionals being disputed, and to see, you know, even professionals like yourself, the idea that industry or politics or otherwise tries to talk around you as a professional, when the reality is, these frequencies are hitting people from these different angles, and every time they're moving within the field, their body's fluids are moving within them, you know, you're creating these very complex issues that actually qualify everything they're talking about and more.
Right. And, you know, you brought out angles, and it's important because a lot of the newer nanomaterials that are used for monitoring or I'm going to call it skin sensors and stuff like that, they use some of the newer stuff is what they call a triangular nano piece. And it's literally like a triangle, but it like lays down on the skin. I mean, it's tiny and that, but if you were coated in that material and you were hitting with EMF, your body would be one angle after one angle being shaken and stimulated.
You're right. And here's the thing with frequencies. When we do thermal imaging, here's an example. We'll work for the petrochemical industry, monitoring a vessel so it doesn't or a tank of some kind so it doesn't blow up ahead of time, and we'll keep an eye on this. So we actually find out the emissivity of that product, because when they're more reflective, it's harder for frequencies or EMFs to interact with that. And here to push this is that years ago I would have laughed at anybody that showed me a tinfoil hat. Now I've looked at tinfoil hats and told people, listen, you're doing a good job, but here I want to help you with your design, because frequencies will bounce off versus they grab a hold of something.
I had a number of patients that wore an aluminum hat and also turban with the aluminum underneath, especially ones that are called targeted individuals, meaning because specific things are happening to them in like human experimentation, which should never occur to anyone. The thing too with not only like with the mold where it increases in growth, but the other thing is with more of, I want to call it that electromagnetivity, you know, meaning from the smart grid, and I think there would be not only wear and tear of the building, but even your house, the wear and tear of the loss of paint or anything over time versus, you know, they used to recommend you paint your house every 5 years or 10 years, you know, a certain type. I think other companies' products would have a less, I'm going to say, lifetime, you know, warranty than without the, in other words, with the smart grid, they would be reduced in their lifetime versus without it, they would have what they anticipate to be 100%. Their lifetime.
100%. And here's something that everybody knows. And depending even where you are in the U.S., you know, we would look at buildings and they would say to me, they would say, and people have seen this, why is the solar exposed side of this building so beat up? Versus look at the shaded side. It's brand new. The paint's brand new. That's because it hasn't been subjected to those EMFs. But those EMFs are not going through walls and roofs like these frequencies are causing this high-speed vibration, which is, you think of miniature jackhammers billions of times per second. When we design buildings, and you think about this, even when I've watched buildings and we've gone to fires and these fires raging through buildings, I've thought, what the heck is going on? Because we design a building's fire separations to contain and compartmentalize that fire to an area.
Right, the firewalls.
So that we can do the firewalls. well, these frequencies, you imagine that if these frequencies blasting through drywall and shaking that drywall billions of times per second, it's coming apart. The fire integrity isn't there. You're endangering firefighters. You're exactly right on the accelerated corrosion of buildings. And this is another reason why to warn on this, because those buildings are supposed to be code compliant, and that's why banks finance them. That's why insurance companies insure them based on compliance. And the idea that that was left out and municipalities were not told, by the way, we're electromagnetically inducing your whole city and area. And even up here, I've attended meetings where the city of Edmonton is an example. Here are the councillors trying to find out, where did you put these antennas in our city? We didn't tell anybody. We didn't tell anybody the orientation of the fields. We didn't tell people the direction of these things. And you just can't do that, because there's that big liability issue again where, listen, insurers and municipalities are not just going to sit back and close up their inspection departments and take those losses. It's not going to happen. And the reality that they're being detrimentally affected is margin of error is zero.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even Andrew Mikrowski, when he first started reporting that, I even thought, what the heck are they talking about? And then as soon as I saw what these guys were doing, I said, oh, my God. And even when you talk to other electrical professionals, they said, look what they've done. And I said, how the heck was this allowed? Why weren't we told? And to find out that, you know, whether it was with good intent or, you know, I like to use terminology like we've weakened the professional gene pool out there to create such a adverse environment where even Canada, our prime minister, you know, shame on him. You know, shame on him, because he's going to be in a lot of trouble for what they've done politically. But try to imagine this in your background. These guys want to shut up scientists because, you know, you pesky little guys are interfering with what we want to do politically and commercially.
Right, right. And
what a ridiculous thing to say.
Yeah, and at the same time, though, they're affected. You just said, you know, said it. It's shaking their brain and that. And then we have to have them make decisions when their brain's not functioning right.
Well, you know, with what you just said there, here's what's really important. And again, this issue, you know, is not going to be popular with some people, but it is what it is. When I heard about that, you know, here's an example. When that boy was in Connecticut where he shot those children.
Yes.
And those teachers, I called a medical professional that lectures medical education, and I said, I can't believe that a boy who has never done those things before would take an assault rifle and shoot those babies in the face and do that horrific thing. And I said, I want you to tell me that a neurological stimulation by these things couldn't trigger something neurologically. And he talked about coherency and incoherency.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine this. Could this give a criminal excuse to people? And the answer is yes.
Mm-hmm.
I would ask you this. If I could neurologically stimulate people artificially, could that affect their ability to function?
Yes, and also...
And the bottom line is yes.
Yes, and also add what they call the nano radio, which is basically a nano wire with a silicon quartz on it to the back part of the brain, and we have voice to skull where you can get conversations. So there are many variables that can happen and many people that will suffer on both sides of the fence.
You know, you're right on this, and here's something I'd like to say, too, because there are people out there that, you know, know law enforcement people. And here's what's important with this, too. And first I want to touch on this. I looked at a declassified military document, and this is older, but they talked about exactly what you're talking about. In a hostage situation, they actually deployed the frequencies so that they could talk to the hostage. And that even at that time, they said, we got them to hear us count from 1 to 10. But at the same time, here is this document that said the mechanisms linking this to adverse health effects isn't known. We know that when we irradiate these monkeys to 42 degrees Celsius internally, they start to act out. Well, no kidding. But exactly what you're talking about with this. in Naperville, Illinois, to watch policemen escort these people on the property to swap out those meters while residents were arrested is despicable, when the reality is that everybody in the field should ask the police for a file number. And for policemen that don't understand this, because, listen, this is such a complex issue, I've said to policemen, do you use a taser? And they said, yes. I said, you are electrically interfering with that body. That's how you can do that. I said, do you use electromagnetic pulsed weapons to shut down vehicles and electronics? And they said, yes. And I said, this is an electromagnetically pulsed weapon being used on biology. And it's a weapon is applied. Everybody should ask for a file number because it's a reality. And shame on the world again for laughing off this, what they call electrohypersensitivity, as people being sick.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I want to even make this more for people to take this more seriously. Is here are the calls we get on this side here about these babies defects. Here's this. Here's a call a couple of weeks ago from a clinical psychologist with a master's in social work, being told that, listen, you're crazy because you think these frequencies are hurting you, so the husband's taking her to court to take the children away.
Mm-hmm.
And shame, because she said, Curtis, have you heard about this? Is it possible? And I said, shamefully, I said, it's not just possible. It's happening. They left out the grid hitting people, and, you know, we can't do that. We're causing problems. And again, politicians, here's the most important part. And you and I just briefly touched on this. When someone said, Curtis, you're going to pick on Obama. And I said, I believe that President Obama is a good man. And because Michelle would just beat the heck out of him.
Yes, and, especially if anything happens to their two children's age.
And their two children. But here's the reality that needs to be represented. And Mr. Obama, your children are being neurologically stimulated, as are their eggs and ovaries and everything else, and it doesn't matter that it was unintentional. It's an electrical reality. And for people to say that you can't dismiss electromagnetic induction, it's electricity. And a margin of error, again, is zero. And the idea that these guys just did this like a cup of water in a microwave and said, listen, we're not nuking you enough to heat the water molecules. Ridiculous, and laughable science. And if you've got people on this call that are saying, listen, we're really skeptical about this, you need to go to the slideshow, and you need to look at that mannequin head with a hole in the top and a temperature probe. That is what they're using as the science substantiating your exposure limits.
Right.
And they left out all that additional information, and horrible.
Right. And they also, you also have on, that we link to it, the children that glow in the dark, you know, as a result of the EMF, and a number of good videos, excellent, for anyone that wants to learn more, microwave radiation, any of this is, you've given us so much information to have on this show, and I appreciate it very much, Curtis. Thank you very much.
No, I have to apologize. I'm ashamed as a first responder. Our job is to help people. Our job is to do our jobs. We don't pull up to a house. We don't do our jobs. Here again, here's our country here. I watch our prime minister congratulate soldiers on their service and their sacrifice, and we put our hands over our chest and talk about all this while we effectively kill their children here. Well, we affect their houses here, their investments, and everything they're trying to protect. And I'm ashamed of that. And I'm ashamed of even imagine this. All right, we've got a provincial fire chief that said, I don't believe this could cause electrical problems and fires. Well, he's a professional weenie because guess what? You're not qualified in your opinion, both electrically and otherwise. Yes, it can cause fires. Yes, these guys can do this when you've got untrained people swapping out meters under load. And I'm ashamed because when I see yourself, Ole Johansson, David Carpenter, Klinghart, I can't even go through the list of people that have been ridiculed and dismissed by industry and their professionals and whatever, with a science admitting that they're missing critical data and a code admitting they're missing critical data. I'm just ashamed, and I want to thank you so much because I can understand why, you know, Ole Johansson, to hear that here he's working at the Karolinska Institute associated with the Nobel Prize in Medicine and Physiology, but they've shut down his department a little bit, Ole, because, you know, you're making waves. Science is supposed to be objective. There, if we had lobbyists in any part of my work, listen, I'd give them about a two-second head start before I'd be chasing them out there, and quite frankly, I'd beat them. Mm-hmm. And then we'd deal with them and prosecute them. You can't have lobbyists when you're talking about what is now a frequency weapon is applied.
I want to ask you a question because I've been involved in different cases of exposures to leaking gas, natural gas, you know, from stoves, meaning one is the heater versus the stove in a home. And out here in Los Angeles, as with Miami, possibly New York, meaning they still use piped-in gas, okay? So it's not like having a tank on the back of your house or anything like that. So you have to call the gas company to turn it off. With the smart grid, and if you had a leak, it would seem that there would be a greater risk of fire or, definitely you're shaking your body. You would have a greater exposure within your body if you were in that circuit, as you said earlier.
No, guess what? And what a shameful thing to represent. When I cross-examined the utilities electrical engineer, and his name is Dr. Yakov Skolnikov. Now, from what I understand, Mr. Skolnikov is an electrical engineer, has been running around representing his garbage science, quite frankly, for a long time, and representing his flawed science when he should know better. And here's an example of this. In my cross-examination of him, when we wire, here's an example, we'll wire a granary to be explosion-proof electrically
because we
want to confine it. It's so incredible to design something and then install it so that the explosion is confined to the electrical equipment so it doesn't blow up.
Mm-hmm.
When we do oil...
It implodes more, right.
Well, it implodes, and we catch that before the whole place blows off the map. When we do this with oil field, gas, refineries, across the board, even West Texas, when they said, Curtis, they don't know what caused this, and I said, you can't rule out exactly what you're talking about. These frequencies going through walls and roofs and penetrating the ground, they are going to interact with this, cause that accelerated corrosion, and create a volatile environment. And here's something else that we do electrically, and I've done this personally at airports. We went to the airport in Inuvik, and we had to ground every piece of equipment to literally drill holes through rusty equipment. It didn't matter what it was because we want to dissipate any possible charge that could set off a spark. And Mr. Skolnikov, under cross-examination, when I said these frequencies going through walls and roofs could induce a charge on something where somebody could walk up and here would be this static, and you'd cause an explosion. And he said, oh, that's possible, but not probable. Well, they've never tried it before. They've never done it before. And even for him to say it's possible because it's possible. So
right,
you think about even in labs, in hospitals, where this oxygen is, where these different volatile environments are, where they've employed this wireless. Listen, just like a static charge moving across the carpet, you're looking for trouble. Because in the engineering part of our program, we took this. Here's a truck moving down the highway. The truck is not grounded, so it picks up a charge.
Mm-hmm.
The trucker stops at a gas station, jumps out, and doesn't ground out the truck. He comes back and touches the tank with the gas nozzle. Kaboom.
Right.
And it's that simple. So you're absolutely right. When we install these pipes in these buildings and underground, the depth of them is done for all particular reasons. The type of pipe we use is all for particular reasons, so they can be compliant with codes and not have these problems. And what they're doing is they're putting these other companies in a position of liability. When, here, imagine this, where it's penetrating the ground a meter. Well, you're going to chip away at the ground, and you're going to chip away at the ground, and you're going to chip away at the ground where here are these questions to us where could this contribute to sinkholes? Yes. if it can take down bridges and the accelerated corrosion of infrastructure and all of those things, of course it can. You're going to cause instability, and then once that initial part breaks off, it's going to go a little deeper and a little deeper. So this is another reason why they shouldn't do that, because those gas meters, that pipe comes out of the ground and into the meter itself. That, you know, there's just a whole complexity of issues that they left out, and this is why you do not, under any circumstances, ever, ever, ever in the world, deploy frequencies over these large geographical areas. And can I, if I can make another analogy, we've all heard of solar flares and solar EMFs, and the biggest concern for the telecom industry is that this makes our satellites and the electronics in those satellites vulnerable, and we're worried about our billion-dollar satellites. So what have we done? We've allowed them to deploy not solar EMFs, but we've allowed them to deploy EMFs atmospherically here, where it's taking out the human satellite, the bees, the birds, and everything biological within our atmosphere and doing what we're doing. Just you can't do that, and especially with a code that says, hey, we're missing causality. We don't know what's causing this. Well, you left this information out, and you can't do that for all reasons in the world. It's not legally definable as sustainable or insurable. You know, our Auditor General, here's an example. Our Auditor General, as an example, under their jurisdiction is what's called the Sustainability Act. And the Sustainability Act says this: you shall not do today what will impact future generations. You know, it's about mixing the ecosystems and economy and all the above, but everything is in the best interest of sustainability and not adversely impacting that environment. And they monitor the government's performance on this. And everything is insured based on that sustainability. And that travels across the borders and everywhere else. And even with Texas, you know, we worked with their Texas Senate committee on this, saying, guys, you can't do this. An opt-out doesn't matter. You can't do that. If you need to wire, if you need to put in smart meters and smart devices, wire them. And you don't need them anyways, because if you painted buildings and shaded buildings and quit stripping the ground of thermal regulation that creation provided for us, you'd knock 30% off the grid as it is.
Yeah, and the thing is, though, with the more, I'll give you, like on a TV, you see a commercial of the smart house, meaning a gentleman or a lady looking at their cell phone and they're checking, they ask their child, did you turn off the lights when they go to this other place? And they said they did, but then they look on their cell phone and they see that they didn't. So that is all part of the smart grid, correct?
Yes. I wouldn't call it even a smart grid.
Oh, okay.
But you're absolutely right.
That's part of SCADA, I know, and all that supervisor.
Well, you know, you're right, and this is you can't do that for all particular reasons in the world. I mean, listen, I love technology. It's just incredible to see the advancements. But again, there are particular reasons we do this. And when people say to me, you know, you don't use a cell phone, I said no. I said I've got enough going on without radiating my head anymore or doing those types of things. And they said, well, listen, this stuff's really safe. I said, at one time, so was cocaine. I said, listen, I know guys that were on crystal meth that they said our work production increased 40%. You know, guys in PCP, boy, can they ever lift a lot of weights. You can't do that. You can't. You just can't do that. And here I wanted to touch on this too. Utilities are so arrogant, and industry is so arrogant with this that here's what they've done, and here's what I found out. They're putting two antennas in your meter. Now, one antenna is so that, listen, that grid, you got a wireless circuit going back to the utility, so they can read your meter and your consumption and everything else that's going on. And it is too much information to give a utility, regardless of what people say. First off, because I could look at somebody's electrical usage and determine, oh, here's what they're doing at this time of the day. Here's what's working. Here's what's not. Oh, they're running their hair dryers, curling irons. You could probably determine sex of the people by how they were using their electrical load. Now, the utility here said this too. They said, I said, there's a second antenna. And they said, oh, that's a Zigbee chip for the inside of the house, and it's Wi-Fi. And I said, how many devices are you going to put inside the building to do this smart building? And they said, well, they don't really know right now. I said, is it 10, 15, whatever? And he said, whatever. And I said, what's the orientation of the field specific to the building, the people inside? We don't know that. We don't know that, but we're just going to add this stuff on later on. And even when they're doing cell phone towers, people need to be alarmed, because when you look at a site plan for cell phone towers, it's not just a tower. How many antennas are on that? You've got so many existing antennas, and you've got proposed antennas. So one we looked at is they had, I think, 20 existing antennas and 19 futures. And so they wouldn't have to go through process. But here again, I would tell that industry, the Canadian Wireless Telecommunications Association has to comply with Safety Code 6, as they would with any other standards, which not just, never mind the heat-related issue, the predominant health effect to be avoided is the unintentional stimulation of tissue, as is the heat effect. You're causing neurological stimulation plus much more, and those towers and antennas, their compliance is actually a conditional license with Industry Canada. So you can't do that, and we say this, warning these guys as well. You know, you're hearing that, listen, the telecommunications industry is increasing 12-fold. Everybody should jump onto this and invest all their money. Well, that's what happens when you bypass, you know, all that construction process and what we used to do before, and just say, listen, I can radiate this whole classroom. I don't have to do that pesky construction stuff.
Right, and at the same time, not only radiate them, but also monitor them if they had any of those, I'm going to say, wireless chips in them, too, or on different materials. Because look at now, there in certain medications, they're using edible chips versus even in certain, nutritional supplements, they're looking at putting not only edible chips, but certain, like, nano metals, because they think the smaller is the better, versus not realizing that it's going to vibrate more in the body or anything. I think there's going to be a whole interaction, and I've seen businesses that are to be, I'm going to say, for monitoring your body at the same time that interface. In any of that, you mentioned earlier you get a file at the police department, you know, if you experience something. Do you mean file like a police report and get a file that
like
way?
Listen, you are seriously being hurt by these frequencies. A margin of error is zero. If those frequencies are interacting you and they've installed this grid, you do have an action against this, and you should get a file number regardless of whether they want to give you one or not. You need one for a receipt. They can contact electrical professionals and say, listen, is this possible? Because here's the important part. My opinion isn't singular. So when people are saying, hey, you know, where do you figure this out? It's called electricity. And even when you talk about one file number for the fact that, one, the frequencies are hurting you, you want a file number. Two, just because the police don't understand it, if you've had somebody sneak on your property and install a smart meter, you need to get a file number, because, one, electrical professionals do not sneak on properties to install anything.
That's true.
We would come in there, work with the homeowner, make sure everything's shut off. We would not pull that meter out of that base under load for any reasons, because we maintain electrical equipment yearly. Every couple of years, whatever the case may be, depending on its usage. When those meters were originally put on those buildings, some of those meter bases have never been electrically maintained ever, and they are extremely fragile. And to have somebody who's not trained go and play around with that, you've affected the electrical integrity of the entire circuit, and hence another file number. Now, when you talk about, you know, here's something that scares me and as well as others, and I actually had the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers say this to me, where they said, our bank cards, our passports, our everything have got these radio frequency chips in them. And I said, and here they said this, they said, they're deploying those frequencies over these large geographical areas. They could have programs and know where you are.
Right.
They could read your bank card. They could do things, and guess what? It's an invasion of privacy. It's too much information, you know, to and nobody deserves to have that information or a right to have that. For me, that radio frequency idea is, listen, if you want to walk up, and this is where, to me, wireless might be okay, is that, oh, you're walking up to a machine like a remote control for a TV, and you're going from a distance from here to here, okay, and you want to read that, that's fine. We can do that. Not this huge deployment of all those things. So here's that whole privacy issue. It is very real, and especially when they say, by the way, you know, when it came to safety or anything else, we use this flat earth science called the specific absorption rate. Shameful. And it's something I want to touch on, too, because the Auditor General of Canada sent us a report on who's complaining about frequencies, why. They said, show us something different. Now, here's where Dr. Magda Havas did something very interesting, and bless her for the work she did then. And unfortunately, you know, she's not taking causation forward now. But Dr. Havas reported with a DEC phone study. Here are, and you imagine this, Canada's limits are 1,000 microwatts per square centimeter. So Dr. Havas in this report said, listen, here's this study showing altered brainwave activity at 0.1 of 1 microwatt. Here's this leukemia increases at 10 microwatts. Here's this blood-brain barrier being affected at 120 microwatts. And they said, Health Canada came back and said, oh, that's under this load that we're putting on you now, so it's just, we're okay to go, instead of you're putting them under more intensive radiation with the expansion and collapsion of these fields like that. You can't do that. So across the board, you know, it might seem like a good idea for people, and it might seem like a good idea for security. And here's the other thing as well, Jerry Flynn. And the reason I want to talk about Jerry is this. Here's a retired military officer whose job was frequency warfare for the Canadian military. He comes out of retirement at 77. He doesn't come out of retirement. He just steps up and says to utilities and otherwise, this grid is hackable. You can hack this grid. You can knock this grid down. You could knock this thing down with a pulse weapon in a second to do this. It is not secure. And here's Jerry talking about these frequency weapons as applied, as is Barry Trower, as are these guys like this, to have them dismissed by politicians or lawyers or administrators who don't even understand that is disgraceful. But here again is he sent a letter to the Canadian Prime Minister on this, and guess what? What do you think a politician does in a situation like that, especially this week when? Nothing. And so here are these guys stepping up saying, what the heck is going on? In Texas, to take this into your arena, here is, I listen, and here I am part of that a panel, the Texas Public Utility Commission's panel, and I'm listening to people step up and say, I'm a doctor, and these frequencies are hurting me. I just stopped my practice. Next guy, I did my tour in Iraq. The frequencies are hurting me. Here are these vulnerable soldiers that are injured. Here are these vulnerable Lyme patients. Here are these issues. And again, here's the most important part. September 2010, causation was reported through the Canadian government by their Canadian government electrical professionals. October of 2010, we were required or asked to provide expert witness to Canadian Parliament Standing Committee on Health specific to the issue where causation was reported. 2011, January, the dangers of these frequencies as applied in causation was lectured in medical education for education credits required for ongoing medical licensing. It was approved by boards of medicine, state boards of medicine, dentistry, nursing, you know, in organizations that I don't even know. And here's that bottom line. It substantiates. You've heard about the 60,000 pediatricians that are concerned about the frequencies.
Right.
It substantiates them 100% where they were otherwise ignored. American Academy of Environmental Medicine substantiates them. They're calling for a moratorium. There doesn't need to be a moratorium. It has to stop before they even think about it, because they wouldn't be allowed to move forward, you know, the work that you're doing. And so here's another, I smile because I see what you do. Here's the Integrative Health Forum and this molecular medicine program that put that forward for a lecture. I can't thank them enough and their their leadership for what they've done in taking this forward. But here's the other thing as well. When I talked to a lawyer and I said, do you have to get education credits as a lawyer? He said, yes. He said, or we're suspended from practicing law. It's no longer opinion. It's accepted medical education.
Mm-hmm. And it's time they all learn. I want to thank you, Curtis, for being my guest, Curtis Bennett, and sharing your experience with electromagnetic fields, the smart grid, and electromagnetic pulses. I hope you'll be able to come back on the show again with your time schedule so we can expand the knowledge of what you know and I know. Thank you again very much for being with me.
Anytime, and thank you so much for your leadership.
And you keep up your leadership. I enjoy
it. We're always going to do our job.
We want the truth out there, especially in science. God bless
you. Very best to you, and thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.